Hi, welcome back to another special conversation. Thank you for tuning in to Parenting Special Needs Podcast. I'm your host, Shantae, and today we're talking with Raquel Farrell Kirk about art therapy and what it is and isn't. Raquel is a professional art therapist, and I'm going to let her tell you more of her bio.
Hi, yes. Well, I've been an art therapist for about 17 years. And in that time, I've worked in a good representation of the different settings art therapists can be found in. I've worked in psychiatric settings, outpatient, and also in educational settings with children with special needs. And right now, I work in private practice, and I own and operate a learning center for children with special needs who are being homeschooled.
What is art therapy? Can you define it and explain it?
You know, it's a good question, but I think I can. 17 years in, I ought to be able to answer that, right?
I hope so.
So it's a mental health profession that really uses art, the creative process, art making as the core of how we do the art therapy, how we affect change, how we treat clients and explore their issues and give them new skills. We do that all through art and art making.
So what does a session look like?
Well, it might vary based on the setting and the client, but I like to think of it as beginning, middle, and end. So in the beginning of a session, you are going to get a feel for where your client is that week. As I often say to people, you know, I might come in with a project all planned, but I haven't seen you in a week. And maybe your week has taken a very different turn and what I had in mind is no longer a good fit. So you start off by checking in, how have things been since the last time, what's going on? And then the middle of the session is the meat, is the art making. So in the beginning, I find out where you are and I'll say, listen, this is what I thought would be really helpful for us to work on today. This is why, this is the theme, these are the art materials. You know, are you okay with that? Can we go ahead and get started? And then the bulk of the time is really devoted to allowing that person to make their art. Then the last section, most art therapists like to leave some time at the end to process, to talk about what you made, what was frustrating, what worked, if you completed a piece, you know, what did it mean to you, to kind of complete the circle and make sure that anything that was brought up as someone was making the art, they have a chance to discuss it.
Can it take place anywhere or does it take place in an office?
It can take place anywhere that you have some privacy, some quiet, and access to supplies. I have done art therapy sessions in client homes before, particularly for children with special needs. There are art therapists who work in prison settings and at hospital bedsides. So you just have to adapt what projects you're doing, what materials you're using to the particular circumstance that you're in. For example, I do an art therapy group right now that takes place in a museum gallery. So I'm a little more cautious about how much mess we're making. I don't want to splatter artwork that's already hanging on the wall. Or in a hospital setting, you know, you have to take into account transmission of diseases and using things that are clean and whatnot. So it just depends on the setting.
And in a setting, so when you said that, I just popped into my head, like, it's not necessarily a group setting, though, right? I mean, it's more.
No, it does not have to be a group setting. You can absolutely run a really great art therapy group. Most of the work that I do is in groups. And, you know, running a therapy group has a lot of inherent benefits, whether it's art therapy or talk therapy. There's a lot that people can get from each other and from the dynamics within the group. But it absolutely lends itself to individual work, which obviously, or maybe not obviously, but which can let people explore issues a little more deeply. You know, you're not sharing the group time and you have even more privacy one-on-one with that therapist.
I think I'm still not quite clear. Can we kind of explain it a little bit more? I mean, basically, what is the difference between that and going to... for my child to be signed up for art classes.
Okay.
Can you just kind of explain it a little bit more in detail? Like what would you'd be taking your child, why?
Okay. So you might be taking your child because one of the terms I use is it's almost like a backdoor approach. We say this a lot at my learning center that our classes take a backdoor approach. If I said to a student, hey, I'd really like you to go see Miss Raquel every week so that she can work with you on social skills and how to follow instructions and control your impulses. That's not the most appealing description. They're probably going to balk at that or be resistant to that. Mm-hmm. However, if I said, I'd like you to go see Miss Raquel, she has a really special art group every week. Then when they come to that art group, things are happening on two levels. On one level, there's the content of what we're doing. We're making a collage. But I know what I'm doing is I'm setting up a process where you're getting to practice those skills. So maybe I'm bringing you in a group of three because I know that I want you to work on working with others. So I'm not going to bring you in by yourself. I'm bringing you in on a group of three, and I have enough crayons or markers for everybody, but I'm only going to put out one pack. So now you guys have to share. You have to negotiate. You have to say, can I borrow that one? Maybe I'm giving you one sheet of paper. So now that you have to kind of plan, okay, we're going to draw on this as a group. What do we have to do? So it allows you to use the art, which is, you know, inherently relaxing and enjoyable and can make people feel very productive and proud. Look what I made. But you're using it to get to let's practice sequencing and having impulse control. You know, if I give you watercolors and you don't practice sequencing, you're going to get muddy water because you're going to do things out of order, or you're going to be really impulsive and now you got brown paint when really you were trying to mix a pretty color. And so it's a hands-on way to help you practice the skills that you need. And that's where it might be different than an art class. An art teacher's goals are going to be different.
Right.
The art therapist's goals are going to focus much more on the process of what you're doing and less on the product and much more on behaviors and themes than teaching you content or teaching you a specific skill.
And I would imagine also, well, my question is, what about anxiety? Does it help with reducing anxiety in children? It does.
It can very much. The research in our field is growing, and related disciplines, you know, psychology and other mental health disciplines, and even nursing, they're starting to do more and more research and write up the benefits and do quantifiable, measurable studies. And they are finding that you can measure and find decreases in people's stress levels, decreases in anxiety that they're reporting, and even decreases in less subjective reporting and more objective measures. You know, maybe I gave you a questionnaire that you filled out at the beginning, and then, you know, after 6 weeks of art therapy, you filled it out, you filled out the same scale again, and maybe your scores have gone down, so I can see the anxiety decrease. Maybe it's a study where they've looked at brainwave activity and actually seen a change there. So it's not just subjective. There's some really nice science that's coming out to support what we instinctively see.
Okay. And I think your example was, it helps me to understand it a little bit better, because I guess in the past I've heard of art therapy in a sense with, you know, if a young child has had something traumatic happen to them, as mm-hmm. in sexual molestation mm-hmm. or something like that, that an art therapist or something, you know, they've used art to kind of get the child to talk. So yes. I guess I was thinking more like that for art therapy, not necessarily kids yeah. with developmental disabilities. But I see now when you explained it like behavior, there's certain other ways you can bring it in. But so if you want to expound on that a little bit more, but I did have a better understanding after you explained it that way, how it could be beneficial.
Yeah, it's just different goals. And if my goal is different, then that sets the tone for everything to be different. And that applies to whatever you're doing, right? Whatever your goal is determines how you're going to do things. What method are you going to use? How are you going to engage that child? What kinds of tasks are you going to ask of them? How are you going to react to things that come up? You know, if I'm an art teacher and I have a class and I have a goal of getting instruction across and my focus is on that, I may not be as well prepared to deal with a child who struggles in that setting. You know, if an art therapist is working with a child, we have a goal for the session, but we know that the process is way more important. So if my goal was that you were going to draw a picture for me about your family so that I could understand something, if 10 minutes in, we need to stop and talk about the right way to react when you get frustrated with your drawing so that you're not ripping it up and, you know, having a meltdown, then that's what we're going to focus on. I don't need to stay true to this outside goal. My goal is to help this client with their behaviors or coping skills. I'm not tied to a content goal. It can really be based on the client. And your example is absolutely a really powerful use of art therapy. It just depends on your client. You know, are you looking to explore trauma and give people insight? That's not always appropriate for where they are. You have to always meet the client where they are. It's not always the right time for them to do that. It's not always the right setting. For example, the groups I do in the museum setting, some of the work that I do there came about after the high school shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas in Parkland. And some of the people who attend are students who were there, are teachers, are people who were connected. And it's not the setting for me to say, to dig into that traumatic event. So even though you can do it, sometimes it's just not the right setting. That's better done with an art therapist or another therapist who specializes in trauma and a long-term thing. That's not, we're going to casually sit in a group at the museum and talk about it.
And would that be one because it was so recently happened and they were still might not even be ready to deal with their emotions? They're still just trying to heal a little?
Yes, that would be one reason. And another reason would be I'm not their primary therapist. I don't know their whole picture. So someone in that group might be ready to talk about it. Someone else might not. And because they're just coming to me at the museum, they're not coming to me where I'm really intimately involved in their mental health treatment. I don't know enough to know what they need specifically and where they, you know, where they're at. So you can do a whole range of things with art therapy, but you're always going to follow what your client needs and what fits the setting that you can safely, you know, provide for them in.
Okay. And I kind of have two questions off of that. So one, when you did the high school and Marjory Douglas Stoneman at the museum, you were having everyone come together. What was the goal of art therapy for that purpose at that time?
Yeah. So, you know, in the immediate aftermath of an event like that, you are really doing a lot of support. You're not really doing, you're not really trying to unpack details or ask people to rehash details. You're doing a lot of support, a lot of psychoeducation of here are some coping skills. Here's some things to do when you feel overwhelmed. So we did a lot of things like open and close our sessions with deep breathing, with information on trauma and stress. And we did a lot of art activities designed to like to give them some flexibility. So I would do things like, for example, a mandala, which is basically a very ancient practice. A mandala is a circular, very intricate pattern, usually contained within a circle. It's used for meditation. Coloring and drawing a mandala can be very relaxing. And so we would try to do activities like that so that we were giving people a place to come for some respite, a place to come and not be alone, a place to come and get some information, and to do an art activity that would help bring those anxiety levels down and bring people in the community together in one place.
Okay, I see. Thank you for explaining it. Okay, my other question on that is, okay, so if I'm a parent and I have a child with special needs, different abilities, not saying specifically one diagnosis over another, how would I know to reach out to you? Like, how would I incorporate that into my child's program? I mean, do you guys work with behavior therapists? Like, how do parents know to ask for your services?
You know, that's a great question. That's why I love doing interviews and conversations like this, because oftentimes parents, you know, are the best advocates for their children. And it is important for parents to know what's out there so they can say, you know, I'm wondering, you know, maybe my son would benefit from art therapy. And some of the things I think that might lead a parent to ask that would be, if you feel like maybe your child has hit a plateau or isn't responding well to other therapies, you might think, okay, is there something different that I can try? Is there a different avenue for working on these skills that my child might respond to better? Like I mentioned, sometimes children have really negative experiences in the past with therapies, or feeling like therapy made them, you know, meant that there was something wrong with them or was boring, or so art can allay some of those concerns for the child. It's also often a lot less threatening. You know, it's not, well, come in and let's talk about everything that's wrong and let's make you practice this physical or psychological skill that's really hard for you. Let's just make you do that for 30 minutes. Instead, it's, can you come in and let's do some art projects that are going to help you? And maybe I know that, you know, by doing that art, you're working on some fine motor or some impulse control or some social skills or emotional issues, but it may seem less threatening and more enjoyable to the person participating in it, which is important to get them to really participate.
Now that you're sharing this with me, I can definitely see the benefits, and, you know, but I don't think that parents know about it. So my other question on that as well is, do you guys partner? Like, if my child's going to a behavior therapist, would I say, hey, I think that, I mean, would it be a parent that has to recommend it? Do you guys work with behavior therapists? Do you work with other therapists to kind of like team up? Yeah. And I don't mean that you necessarily work together, but maybe like they mm-hmm. refer you and then you say, hey, this is what's going on. Because honestly, now that you're sharing this with me, I could definitely see where this probably would have had such a better impact on my own daughter mm-hmm. had I been aware that it was available. Because
right.
we went behavior therapy, which a lot of that was extremely hard for her and routine and blah, blah, and created more problems. Whereas maybe if she was able to kind of work through some of the things with art therapy, because that is a love, even though she's not great at it, you know,
right.
She might've been able to learn some of those skills to deal with stuff versus what we were trying to.
Yeah, we do work really closely with other therapists and other disciplines. As you said, whether that means that we're literally part of the same agency or not, we can still coordinate our efforts. I use myself as an example because I know it's representative of the way other art therapists work. I have received referrals from other professionals who know of art therapy and have a client, and they say, you know what, I'm going to recommend that you reach out to an art therapist. And I have worked closely with other therapists, even if we're not in the same agency, you know, where I'm seeing a child at my learning center and I'm doing art therapy with them there and they're getting their classes there, and I know that they see a speech therapist or a behavior therapist or an OT or a PT. And I might, you know, with the consent of that family, say, I would love to talk to the other therapist and let's see what they're working on and how can we support each other and be on the same page. And maybe I'm seeing something different in my sessions than they're seeing. Oftentimes art therapy is very strength-based, meaning that what we do tends to focus a lot on what people can do. You can make this picture. You can make this collage. You can express yourself. And other therapies sometimes are very much focused on the deficits, right? Here's what you're not doing well that we need to fix. So it can be very helpful to be able to go to a treatment team and say, did you know that this child could do this? Hmm. Here's what happened in my art room. I can remember when I worked for the public school system, having a student in my office who struggled in class, struggled with attention, struggled with behavior, with motivation, and was in my office working on art for 45 minutes, reading poetry to base his art on. And I said to him, do you think your teachers would be surprised? I told them that you came into my office today and spent 45 minutes reading poetry and making art. And he nodded his head. He said, yes, they would. And there were times when I would go to IEP meetings. Other educators and people on the team would be floored when I would pull out, you know, an example of a piece of artwork and say, this is how many sessions this client worked on this. And this is what they said about it. So it can be really important to connect with other people who are working for the same family, the same child, and share what you're seeing.
Yes, I think so. And I want to share on that because maybe it just, I thought I was clear, but now I'm a little confused again. So
okay.
Forgive me. Okay, so I agree with what you just were saying, because I see that with friends or different people across, you know, in my line of work. And just as you were saying that, it brought somebody that I'm aware of is very talented in mm-hmm. acting. They didn't know until he was almost, I don't know, 20, that he even had skills. And I know acting, but I'm just thinking arts in general, that so often some of our kids with different abilities are talented in so many other ways, but they don't get to express it until by chance. And it just kind of happens. But that's not this, I mean, that's not art therapy, although they're gifted in those areas. And I guess I'm off track, but I was trying to think, like, how do, you know, like, you're seeing things because you're working with a child that way. Is it a matter of exposing the kids to different things to kind of see where
Their strengths are,
which is not necessarily art therapy, so I might have just messed us up, but
No, you're fine. I think that in terms of finding your child's strengths, you know, you don't have to feel like you're skilled artistically to benefit from art therapy. You don't have to feel like you're good at art or know a lot about art to benefit from art therapy. There are lots of people who come to art therapy with no previous art experience, and sometimes come a little reluctantly, like, I don't really know, but then find out that it's about the process and it's about self-expression and it's about freedom to explore things, and it's not about what it looks like and if it's going to hang on the refrigerator or not, or hang in a museum, you know, or not. I think veterans are a great example of that. There's a lot of art therapy work with veterans. It was actually the cover story of National Geographic, I think about a year ago. And a lot of those people came to art therapy thinking, I've been in the armed forces and I don't talk about feelings and I don't make art. And then came to be really impacted by being able to use art to work through some of the things that were on their mind. But in terms of a child finding their strengths, yes, you need to expose them to a lot of things, because sometimes we don't even know what we're good at if we don't try it. But yeah, that's a little different from art therapy. You don't have to be good at art to benefit from art therapy.
But I just got it when you were speaking before. I think it just clicked in my head, my aha moment, as Oprah says, right? Okay, I got it. So I think what I, as you were saying it, I was thinking, okay, an art teacher teaches them the skills to make a perfect drawing of a face.
Right.
Art therapy is the freedom to get in touch with themselves.
Yes, I think that's very well put.
It's a different goal. Right, and finding more about themselves and... Yes. Okay. I kind of got that little, as you were saying that, I'm like, oh, ding, ding, ding.
It makes sense that, you know, as you think about art therapy and learn about it, that you find yourself seeing those similarities to other fields and trying to parse out the difference, because, you know, as an art therapist, are there times when I use a little technical knowledge to help someone who's frustrated with an art project? Yes. So are there times when maybe those 5 minutes looked like an art teacher because I was saying, well, here's how to make your clay figure stronger, or here's how to, you know, get the paint effect you want. Yes, but that's not the ultimate goal.
Right.
That's just lending support to help you get to the actual goal.
Gotcha. All right, I got it. Yay, I hope others got it. So is there anything else you would like to share before we kind of bring it to a close?
I would like parents who are hearing this to know that art therapy is out there and that it might be a really great way to engage your kids and get some benefits, sometimes more quickly because it's something applied and hands-on than other modalities. And I'd also like them to not be afraid to try to bring art into their child's life. Don't feel like you have to be an artist in order to incorporate art into your life with your child. Go to the art museum and look at some stuff. You don't have to go there with answers and knowledge in your head. Go there together and say, let's go look and see what we like. And if you find one that you like, talk about why do you like it? It's easy to do, and people, you know, there's no need to feel intimidated by art or how to bring that into your child's life.
All right. Thank you. And how, let me ask too. So as the parent, okay, so how do I find an art therapist?
Yeah.
Who do I go ask?
Yeah, there are a few resources. So if you are already seeing another mental health professional, you can ask them if they know art therapists in the area. Most states have an art therapy chapter. So for example, where I live in Florida, we have the Florida Art Therapy Association. So there's a Georgia Art Therapy Association. They all have websites and Facebook pages. So you can look up whatever your state is, Art Therapy Association. And you can also go to the arttherapy.org website. That's the American Art Therapy Association.
Okay.
And they do have a find a therapist function or locator on there where you can try to find someone in your area.
All right. Well, I can't thank you enough. I appreciate it. I have a much better understanding now. I hope that everyone else does. And thank you so much for the work that you do.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for helping us get the word out there.
All right. Listen, have a great, I know you're getting ready to go on a vacation or you're on a vacation. Have a wonderful vacation. And we'll touch base soon.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
I'm Shantae, and you've been listening to Parenting Special Needs Podcast. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Keep in mind, we're newbies on Instagram. And if you haven't done so yet, please go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe. Then rate and review this podcast. Thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you soon.